I'm just saying.
Well, you don't have anywhere else to go.
From which point?
Yeah. You know.
Granted,
way
we
to
can
go from
only
the
go yeah. up, but we're on the way up.
Should have left the Western Conference.
And it's not 2000. It's not 99. You know, you're doing good.
Yeah,
it could be worse.
You know what?
If it wasn't for all those darn rules, the Blackhawks would be like the best team. In the
oh, my God. That's so rude. Well, so rude. But anyways.
We should rate this before we combine personal lube and a hockey discussion for sure. So
yeah, this is a solid 4. Yeah. Solid 4.
All right, Sandra, keep it up, buddy.
Okay. Now, coming up next is, well, I mean, who doesn't love a friggin' Pilsner, right? So this is from their R&D beers, and this is a Italian Pilsner. Mm. It uses, Eraclia Pilsner malt, which is grown near the Adriatic Sea. No wonder I didn't hear this before.
Go ahead and finish. I'll tell you the story.
Okay. Up front on the nose, you get floral, fruity, herbal, and spicy notes with flavors of fresh herbs, grass, dried flowers, citrus peel, and black tea.
So this definitely caught my attention as it was on the board. And I was asking them about the R&D series in general. And I asked specifically about this Italian Pilsner that I had. And they actually ship these hops in from Italy. And at an extraordinary cost. In fact, they barely break even making this beer, is what they were telling me. And I was like, yeah, that is definitely, you know, a set of ingredients that I've not run across lately. And I was like, okay, is this going to be better than a Peroni or not? That was where my head was, you know, at the moment. So, how many people do you know that have shipped in hops from great distances?
Well, I feel like a lot of brewers do that for special one-off beers. They you know, they probably stick with their regular contracts for most things, but they get an idea for something, and whether they're bringing it in from, you know, New Zealand or Australia.
Yeah.
I mean, I we know a lot of those special beers take special orders.
We're talking more about this beer right after this message.
See.
It's not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. On the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Welcome back, everyone. Today is a brewery takeover of Sonder Brewing in
Mason,
Ohio. And this is part of good old boy Mike's road trip that he took recently. Right before the break, we started talking about from the R&D series, their Italian Pilsner, which is a 5% ABV Italian Pilsner. And
I just asked a Kendall, do you go to Italia and get these hops?
Banned.
Or do you ship the hops across the world?
Yeah, that is pretty amazing. They're getting Italian hops. I'm not aware of many varieties of Italian hops that would work for something like this. So it's really cool because, you know, most hops are coming from a little bit farther north. So these must be grown, I'm guessing, up towards the Alps.
Venice. Eraclia is a small city and commune in the metropolitan city of Venice.
Well, that's where they're growing the malt, right?
Mm. That was the hops, I thought. Oh, no, you're right.
Oh, malt. It is the malt.
You're right.
But either way, fantastic beer. I just love this beer. It's one of my favorite they've got on right now.
Yeah, it just has Tetnang hops.
Ah.
Yes, but it's the Adriatic Sea.
It's the malt they're shipping
malt,
I guess.
The malt they're shipping, not the hops.
Yeah, and that's,
which that probably is pretty expensive.
And that's very specific. Yeah, not to say like how heavy it is.
Yeah, but it's right. There's a lot of brewers who will only use specific European barleys in their beers. You know, they're very going for that taste, whether it's some German, you know, Pilsner malt or some French malt for your Saison. They're very picky.
Terroir.
Well, I wanted to talk about this beer first, but then I can talk a little bit more about, you know, kind of the relationship, you know, with having Italian ingredients, you know, after that. But I love this Pilsner. It is really good. And so I threw out the name of a macro, you know, Italian Pilsner, Peroni. It's very popular, widely distributed. And this is way, way, way better than, you know, most other Italian Pilsners that I've had. This is really good. Quite tasty, and it's unfortunate that, you know, I'm sure that ingredient will not be utilized by somebody else anytime soon.
At least here in the United States. I mean, I'm sure just overseas it's just factor. Yeah. But this is
very soft.
It's soft, but there's still so many layers to it. Like, and I'm getting this almost honey sweetness at the end, which is just like,
That's beautiful malt character in this beer, but then what they do with the hopping and the dry hopping, that just the aroma and flavor just pops on this thing. And it's very smooth. It works with that malt. It's a great beer with food. When I was there, I ordered this to start. They've got a great little restaurant there if you stop by.
Get some noodles and mashed potatoes.
5 minutes off the free. Yeah.
No, see, I want a grinder with this. You know,
I had wings, actually. But
that's a good pairing choice.
I had this with wings, and it was good, and I really enjoyed it. And I picked up a few packs myself to bring home. So nice. I was drinking one of these last night. Even it's a great beer.
Is black tea a normal note that you get with Italian pilsners? It's not something I've seen before.
No,
I do get it with some German hop beers, though.
Yes,
you definitely get that. So if you're using Technang, that makes sense.
I'll say that jumped out to me immediately, even before they read it on the page. I was like, man,
it's right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is I can't get over this. I wish there was more.
I haven't had a better Italian Pilsner, I think, ever.
Yeah, right?
And I seek them out. Like,
well, and the thing is like the Italian Pilsner to me is like the misfit child, because you don't think of it as being as prevalent. Like, do you know what I mean? Because I've never really enjoyed Peroni.
It's not a German, a Czech.
Well, right. I mean, and when I think of a Pilsner, I'm thinking of German or Czech. Specifically Czech. So this just blows me away.
Yeah, the style's blown up over the last few years.
Yeah.
And I could see why.
The hop-forward nature of it, I think, is what's driving it. People just love hops. So, yeah. Of course, like this.
And in America, this is like a love language.
It's a hoppy Pilsner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No offense to the others. Yeah. Okay. So we shall rate. Yeah. There's no doubt. This is a 5 all day long.
I don't know how we're going to follow this, but I'm excited.
Well, you know, so one thing I was going to chime in about is what, you know, the landscape for beer looks like in Italia, you know, itself. I mean, it's just rampant with a ton of macro beers. I mean, you just are not going to run across a craft beer that is going to even taste remotely close to this in Italy itself. You're going to have to go far and wide out of your way, you know, to a craft beer bar that there's probably one in, you know, that part of the world, or whatever town you're thinking of, because that's just not a very common, you know, thing for craft beer to be made and have a distribution that's, you know, beyond, you know, probably 400 yards, you know, in Italy itself, which is really unfortunate, because that is a super solid beer that, you know, definitely if it was in country, you just would not be able to find it.
Well,
scusi, babbity boopy, che cosa?
Yeah, that's exactly how I sound making an order, Dave. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, it is, but like I'm wondering though, if you were going to Italy, are you going to seek out beer or are you going to seek out wine? Like, no, I mean,
Amari.
I'm sorry. Wait, let me think about it.
Because Amari would be number one, you know, and then beer would be second, and then wine, only because I'm not as cool.
When in Rome,
boy, Mike. In terms of wine loving.
But, I mean, you know, I'm looking for beer just about anywhere that, you know, can be good. It's not, you know, I would say, yes, that most people are not thinking of Italy as being the home of a lot of great beers. And I think part of it is just the landscape. There are just not that many brewers in Italy, you know. So it's really dominated again by so many macro breweries in the area. Mm-hmm. So, but
it's all about the limoncello.
Well, I wonder if protection gets expensive for a brewery.
But
sometimes your beers might just fall right out of the bottle.
I know with a guy with a van that might be available.
Ooh.
Hey, is that your original grill, man?
Yeah.
you're looking pretty hot. So
that is.
So I wanted to chat a little bit about the brewery itself as you're kind of driving. This place is in the middle of a huge industrial park. And that was the one thing that caught my attention is definitely a location. It literally is right across I-75 from Kings Island. So there are going to be a lot of people that may be taking some other trips to Kings Island. And
so drop the kids off at Kings Island and go across the road.
Sure can do that.
Actually,
a ticket cost to Kings Island these days? You can spend that on beer instead.
That might be a really good choice.
You would be wasted.
I could tell probably I didn't get to look in the back, so I really don't know what the brewery looked like, but if I had to guess, you know, it feels like they probably had maybe, you know, 12 different fermenters that are all like 40 barrel fermenters back there. Just because of the wide variety of beers that they had on tap.
Yeah, they have a lot of variety, and they have a style for everybody. So, yeah, if you're heading between Cincinnati and Columbus, which I need to check the map, Mike. I think it might be 71, but I always get those confused.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
you get both in Cincinnati, and sometimes you forget which one you're on. But anyway, if you're up there near that Kings Island area, it is super easy to get there. And it's just a great stop. They do have really good food, great beer.
They've got
styles for everybody. In fact, when I was there, they had the Kings Island Blue Ice Cream Ale on, and it tasted like the Kings Island Blue Ice Cream, which is little blue raspberries. And I tried it because, you know, I did my duty.
Inquiry minds.
It wasn't bad. I wanted to hate it, and I didn't hate it.
Blue raspberry stuff.
I do love blue raspberry.
I am glad that my check cleared and you did not bring that beer today.
But they've got barrel-aged beers. They've got coffee beers. They've got lagers. They've got ales. They've got seltzers. They've got pretty much everything you would want. They've really got something there for the whole family, including non-alcoholic seltzers for the kids.
Now, that's really surprising because I find with a lot of breweries when you get, you know, you try to do everything and be everything to everyone that you don't do a very good job of any of it.
I don't know. I feel like it works for some breweries.
I mean, it's working for them, you know, obviously. If,
like, look at the locally here, the tap list at New Heights is very, you know, varied. And it feels like this is a similar thing that you can find a style pretty much for everybody. It's not like one of those places where you go and there's 18 IPAs on tap.
We haven't talked about distribution, you know, for Sonder as well. And I will tell you that I did drop into a store in Columbus, and indeed they had Sonder there. They didn't have certainly the wide variety that you're going to get at the brewery, but they had, I want to say, like 3 or 4 different beers, even in Columbus. So it looks like at least they're regionally distributing, but I've not seen these beers outside of Ohio, have you?
Yeah, I don't think they're outside of Southeast Ohio. They're not a very big brewery. They just opened a new tap room, and I feel like they're selling a lot of the beer in the tap room.
Well, it sounds like maybe that's, too, why they can make such a variety. Because if you're not trying to push a huge distribution
and getting tabs,
you know, you can make a few different things, and you're making smaller batches like this R&D stuff. You know, so you can play around and perfect your batches.
Yeah, because they have 6 or 7 R&D taps on the list. So
brings more people to the brewery, capture that margin.
Yeah, I really want to throw down that coffee blonde and just double dog dare another brewer to pull that off and pull it off that well. Because I keep on thinking about the techniques they had to do to both make it taste like that and make it look like that. I'm really kind of impressed overall with the way they pulled that off.
So best coffee beer you've had in a long time?
I think the best coffee blonde I've ever had, hands down. Yeah, for sure.
Cool. That's great.
Okay. Let's have this last beer.
Yeah, so let's do that. So last, but certainly not least, is the Nocturnal Dark Lager, 5.6% ABV. It's Schwarz beer, brewed in the traditional German style, utilizing German malt varieties to balance out the flavors of bread, chocolate, and roasty characters with a clean finish.
This is just a nice beer.
It really is. This is my favorite Sonder beer. Every time I go there, I buy at least one or two six packs of this.
This is pleasant.
Because I love a good Schwarz beer.
Yeah,
and this one, so tasty. Yeah. Well balanced.
Very bready.
Yeah. This is very real and authentic, if that makes any sense. Because Schwarz beers are another one where, like, they're over roasty,
right.
You know, or you can like taste the chemicals of like, you know, that little dark juice that was added to make it like a super dark beer. But this is not that. This is just and lovely.
That roast comes off as a little bit of bitterness, which really balances out the beer without adding any like extra hop flavor.
Yeah.
And then it just stops.
And a lot of the bitterness I get in Schwarz beers a lot of times almost tastes like they burnt.
Yeah, you know, super burnt.
This is not that at all.
No.
It's a
soft roast. Astringent kind of.
Yeah, a really great balance that I enjoyed in this beer. And it reminded me of, you know, some other really good dark lagers. I was thinking of, I want to say Urban Chestnut. What's the one out of St. Louis? I think that's who it is.
Well, I think you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, very. But not overdone. You know, I think there are definitely a lot of Schwarz beers we have that are too sweet, you know, feel like they're clubbing you over the head, you know, in terms of the bitterness. And again, just really, really great balance. If there was anything that I would have accused them of doing, would to take that coffee and load it on this lager. And
that would be nice.
I think
you should have done a master blend then.
Yeah, I think that would have been kind of interesting, just, you know, and, you know, we're going to just do that right now. Yeah. That's what we're going to do on the fly.
Cuvée.
I see your Schwartz is as big as mine.
Yeah, so this is the coffee blend. All right, we're going to do this on the fly here to see how well Mike is. Oh, you killed yours. All right, I'm just going to guess I'm the
only one. Go for it, Mike.
That's headed down the right path. That's interesting. Yeah, it's really kind of, it screwed up the lager. Yeah, it took it way too sweet.
So there's that.
Well, there you go. That's why Mike's not the head brewer at Sonder.
I think it's difficult to pull off a really good dark lager without it just getting out of hand. And I really love the fact that they can make great ales and great lagers, you know, all under the same roof. So that's really awesome.
It's a nice mix.
It is. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, we are going to rate the Nocturnal Dark Lager from Sonder A4. And, you know, if I may say, overall on this brewery for like not having heard of it before, they're very thoughtful in everything that they're doing. There's no excess, there's no trendiness, if you will. I mean, and I'm sure they do have some trendy beers too.
Blue ice cream
to those people, right? But no, I mean, and what you picked, Mike, was perfect because it was a good cross section. And also, some of these beer styles, if you're not up to the game, up to the task, it's going to be awful. And none of these were awful.
I think they should let the guy from Dayton with the van do a personal appearance there at Sonder.
Yeah. Maybe he could, you know, be their valet.
What? Are you saying that that's not a good marketing move, Drew?
You know, there is such a thing as bad publicity.
He would give everyone's vehicle personal attention.
I'm so confused.
Is that why I was not invited to the meeting? Is that what you're saying?
I was thinking about taking a trip to Ohio just to visit this brewery, but now you've brought that back up.
I ruined the moment.
No. Yeah.
She's gonna
you
go
dialed
right.
it back down.
She's
right?
gonna, I'm sure we're going to pick up sure. Skyline Chili it was still Ohio. As a sponsor. Yeah. You know, yeah, there
that's
we go.
Fair.
Drew's
that's
looking fair. For a Cincinnati three-way.
Oh.
Wow.
Okay. Well, folks, that's going to do it for us today. I think we've upset everyone that we're going to.
I have a list of other candidates.
Okay. Well, good boy, Mike. Thanks so much for all the tidbits today.
Hey, thanks for joining us on this exciting episode of Sip, Suds, and Smokes. I'll ask you to come back and join us and to keep on sipping.
Good boy, Kendall. Thanks for being here.
It was a pleasure to be here. Always enjoy drinking Sonder beers.
Please tell us about your blog.
My beautiful wife and I blog about the good news of good beer at beermakes3.com.
Hey, June. Good old boy, Drew. Thanks for being with us today.
I don't know if I'll ever be able to look at a van the same way again.
Right? I'm scared. Good old boy, Dave.
Emotional damage.
I think we all have that after this episode. This is good old gal Juliana. Keep on chuggling and catch you next time.
I wonder what the flavor of the lube was.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @SipSudsAndSmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions,
and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
Tanhan production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the good old boys, will see you all next time.
The Sexual Violence Support and Prevention Office, SVSPO, offers confidential support, advice, and referrals to SFU and FIC community members, including students, staff, and faculty, who have been impacted by sexual violence and misconduct. The SVSPO is a welcoming place where you can access support without judgment or assumptions. We work from a survivor-centered perspective, using an empowerment and trauma-informed approach that considers individual situations and perspectives. Please reach out. Services are located at the Diamond Alumni Center, room 014 on the lower level. Please reach out by email at sv-support@sfu.ca. That was sv-support@sfu.ca.